The following program contains views that are not those of WVTC, iNetworks Communications, their subsidiaries, affiliates, or financial supporters.
Hey y'all, welcome to the Declaring War segment by the RSVP Show, where we get to the root of things and apply the Word of God to every aspect of our lives. Worship, application, and read is how we declare war upon the enemy and bring the light of God and His love for us into every atmosphere. Join your host, author, and singer-songwriter, April D. Metzler, as she and a few special guests dive deep into Scripture and demonstrate the Bible in action through their testimony. April is passionate about understanding the heart behind every subject and helping you pursue a relationship with God for a victorious life every day. Are you ready for real, candid, and vulnerable conversations about God, His Word, and His love for you? Grab your Bible, pen, and study pad, and let's visit.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another broadcast. I am your host of the RSVP Show, April D. Metzler, and I am here to read scripture with you and bless your day with prayer. If you have never tuned into this broadcast, thank you so much for joining. Be sure to share this out with friends and family. If you're catching this on the replay, go ahead and put in the comments wherever you're finding this, hashtag replay, and share your thoughts with me, and I'll be sure to circle back around and visit with you about that. So thank you so much for tuning in, and as you guys know, we dive right into prayer and blessing this broadcast so we can invite Holy Spirit in to actually guide us and lead us through scriptures. We want to clear this space and let God's word do it. God's word do what it does. So you guys, thank you so much. We're going to be diving into John chapter 8. And I hope that you will go ahead and grab your Bible and a study pad and pencil so that if there is something that Holy Spirit just impresses upon your heart to dive in deeper to, that this is the moment to do that. So I definitely encourage that. I encourage you to find that time in your day and in your schedule and just make it a routine to seek after that relationship in Jesus Christ with God, because He is the door, He is the access back to our Heavenly Father, and He is what makes us in right relationship with Him. And so there is a yielding, there is a seeking, there is a coming to Him that is so vital in building that relationship back with God. So I thank you so much. But if you guys will join me in prayer real quick, we'll get started. So dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this time that you have provided, this opportunity to be in your word before you, Father. We get so busy, we get so distracted, and it's so easy to do that in this day and age, Father. And you know that. You know what we struggle with. You know what we have difficulties with. You know what we even operate in behind closed doors, even when no one's looking. We know that you see us completely and you know us completely, Father. And that is the relationship that we desire with you, is to be known and seen completely and fully. And we appreciate you for that opportunity to have that relationship. We thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross and to pay for the sins that we have walked in, and our forefathers have walked in, the iniquities and habits and traditions of the past that we let rise above the importance of our relationship with you, Father. We repent of those things. We turn away from them, and we seek you today and what it is in your word that you have for us in this season of our life, Father. We don't want the things of this world anymore. We desire all of you, and that is us coming to you willingly, coming to you sincerely, and coming to you in full submission of whatever it is that you return in these petitions of our heart. What you say to us, Father, we are here to listen attentively. We're here to wait upon you until you are ready to pour into us, Father. We are here. We are here, and we are choosing to be here in your presence, Father. And so we thank you, and we ask that Holy Spirit lead us and guide us into these scriptures. Whatever it is that is to be said, let it bless those who hear it, and let it be something to share with others so that it may be continuing in the blessing. We know that your word doesn't return back to you void, Father, but it accomplishes that which it was sent to do. And so we trust your faithfulness in that. We trust your continued faithfulness, Father, to complete that which you have begun in us. The work is not done yet, and we long for your perfection within us, Father. We want to submit to you, yield to you, so that we can be molded into that holiness that you have for us. You ask us to be holy because you are holy, Father. And so teach us what that looks like and lead us through this word today. In Jesus' name, we come to you knowing that when we come to you in his name, you said that it will be done to us when we ask these things in his name, so that you are glorified through the Son. So we agree, we accept, we receive, and we walk with you in this moment, Father. So we're yielded, you guys. We've got everything else cleared. Any distractions that are going on today, I hope that you can put those on pause right now as we're diving into his word and just hear what he has to say through this chapter. Again, we are on John chapter 8, and we will be diving into this word and seeing what he has to reveal through us in this moment here. So it says, chapter 8 says, but Jesus, I love when it always starts with like, but God, but Jesus, but just wait, you know. I do encourage when you see that, you see therefore, and yet, or but, or some kind of interjection into the writing, remember that these chapters, these books, you know, are a collection, but they are to be read in fullness. And so chapter 7 had something to say for them to say, but, or an interjection of some sort in language, right? And so definitely go back and read that first paragraph right before here, so you know what he was saying but to, right? It says, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives early in the morning. He came again into the temple, and all the people were coming to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, and having set her in the center of the court, they said to him, Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery, in the very act. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. What then do you say? They were saying this, testing him, so that they might have grounds for accusing him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. But when they persisted in asking him, he straightened up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And when they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones. And he was left alone. And the woman, where she was in the center of the court. So that's where it stood, right? So they just didn't throw stones. They didn't admit that they were saying, I am perfect, I am without sin. And this is where we stood. So here comes the interaction between Jesus and this woman. Now it says, straightening up, Jesus said to her, Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you? She said, No one, Lord. And Jesus said, I do not condemn you. I do not condemn you either. And it says, go, from now on, sin no more. So I just want to touch briefly on this section. This is verses 1 through 11. Now, so often we get caught up in the things that the Bible does not say or is not written within the text. So my first point with this particular passage, because I've seen it done time and time again, is people trying to nitpick apart what it was that Jesus wrote. And so they'll sit here and say a lot of different hypotheticals, and then they'll go down a rabbit trail, and him writing in the sand, you know, that's really not the focus. What, you know, and if you really want to take it into, you know, the actual context of what the situation is, think about the scenario, put yourself in that environment, and you're sitting there teaching someone, and these people come in and make this big display to interrupt the whole situation just to prove a point. And you know that that's what they're doing. You know that they're trying to bait you. You know that they're trying to get a rise out of you. And Jesus didn't take the bait. Writing in on the ground here with his finger was more important than taking the bait. So what is it that you do in situations like that, that are similar in your walk, that you could do as a coping mechanism, not to give in to the temptation to take the bait? That's a great pull through. But don't sit here and try to overanalyze like some have done in the past what it was that Jesus was writing. A takeaway, a really key takeaway to this is what the world attacks us with is not as important as our relationship with God. So when things come at us that happen, whatever it may be, you need to weigh that. If you are a child of God, you made the decision to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, and you are doing your due diligence, you know, to learn what that looks like in action, and you're seeking after him, when life hits, we must weigh that every single time. Which one's more important? My relationship with God, honoring God, seeking him, yielding to his ways, or reacting to whatever it is going on in my environment? And so that's a great takeaway from the writing in the on the ground that, you know, some people take down a rabbit trail. So don't do that. Instead, consider the simple fact that he did something very simple in order to show or demonstrate, really, that this display that was a direct sort of insult, if you will, to what was going on, the teaching, like it was a disrespectful move to make this display like this as a test, as a bait, if you will, in the middle of someone teaching the word of God. Come on now. Like that's, you don't do that. That's like someone busting into your church and making this huge display just to see what the pastor does. Like, can we get a rise out of him? That's not okay. But if it was to happen, what would you do in that situation? Would you keep your peace? Would you be focused on the plan? You know, like, I'm not letting these distractions, I'm not letting these circumstances, I'm not letting the things of this world keep me off track or take me off track. I need to stick to the way. I need to keep my peace in him. And so anyways, so I like it though, where it says, but when they persisted in asking him, he straightened up. Like, are you standing tall in what it is that you believe in when these things come up? Where is your ground? Where's your footing? You know, are you able to straighten up as he did on solid ground and state your peace, state where you stand and say, no, this is not going to happen. You know, do you yield to God in those moments and only speak in a way that edifies, that encourages, and that speaks his word? Does that make sense? All right, you guys. So we're going to move forward with that. But I do want to highlight, of course, so many people sit there and say, oh, he just told the woman to go away, you know, and said he didn't condemn her. And that's it. No, there's a passage part that so often is overlooked, and it says, not only go, right, which is a command to do something, right, go, but also from now on, sin no more. And so going required her to stand up off of the ground from the center of the court in those circumstances and she was caught red-handed, whatever. And there's all sorts of kinds of things that are tied to that story. We won't go into that. But ultimately, the point is, when our sins are put on display, and when God says that we are forgiven, there is an action that we are to respond in, a physical action of commitment to move forward beyond that sin after it's exposed and walk according to what He has for us, not right back into those situations or right back into those same circumstances. In order, I have a sister in Christ, Lucretia Shaw, and she says, in order to do different, you must walk different, I believe is how she says it. She's very encouraging in the faith, but that is the case. You know, you can't continue to do the same things that you're doing and expect different results. There's a quote somewhere that says that that's actually the definition of insanity. And, you know, we want to be crazy, of course, but crazy in love with God, you know, crazy because of God, like let the world think us to be crazy because we are set apart, but not actually, you know, expecting different results from the same iniquities. And if you don't know the difference between sin and iniquity, iniquity is the habit itself. It's the movement, the operation of what it is that you're doing. So if you're operating in a sinful nature and it's a habit, it's you've done it so often that it's become a part of you. And then that's operating in iniquity. And so we can remove those. We can do differently. You know, we do better when we know, you know, we know because of God's word. And so I definitely encourage you to get in God's word so that you can know better, so you can do better. And that's what it amounts to, because doing better equates to honoring God's ways. If you are a child of God, if you are a sister in Christ or a brother in Christ to me. So here we go. We're going to go verses 12 forward in chapter 8. And this is where it talks about, I am the light of the world. We'll see what Holy Spirit brings up in this. It says, then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, you are testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, even if I testify about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going, but you do not know where I came from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I am not judging anyone. But even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone in it, but I and the Father and the Father who sent me. Even in your law, it has been written that the testimony of two men is true. I am he who testifies about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me. It makes two, right? So they were saying to him, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father, because if you knew me, you would know my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. I love how that speaks about how God's in control, not anything or anyone of this world. 21 is where we're at right now, folks. And it says, then he said again to them, talking about Jesus, then Jesus said again to them, I go away and you will seek me and will die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come. So the Jews were saying, surely he will not kill himself, will he? Since he says, where I'm going, you cannot come. And he was saying to them, you are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Very cut and dry, right? Very blunt, very direct, very healthy confrontation here going on. He's just speaking in a matter of fact way with them. And so 25 says, so they were saying to him, who are you? Jesus said to them, "What have I been saying to you from the beginning? I have many things to speak and to judge concerning you. But he who sent me is true, and the things which I heard from him, these I speak to the world." So he's saying, I'm only saying the things that God is instructing me to say. So he's yielding to being a mouthpiece of God, right? Which is what all of the prophets in the Old Testament were known for. But 27 says, they did not realize that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." As he spoke these things, many came to believe in him. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" So we're going to get into a little bit of understanding of what freedom in Christ is here in a moment, and what he means by the truth will make you free. But we'll do that here in a moment. But right now, let's focus on real quick. The real takeaway here is that, you know, Jesus's testimony is questioned and he doesn't lose his cool. Again, just like you, the scriptures tells us and instructs us to not even do anything that gives off the appearance of evil. It says abstain from every form of evil in some translations. And then there's another passage that also talks about, you know, making sure basically it's like a Old Testament reference of how they would protect meat. And so when you have some food wrapped in white linen cloth and they would bring it to the table and it wasn't supposed to touch anything or else it would be deemed unclean. And so you've got this sanctified meat sitting here that's been purified and ready and all that jazz. And then if it was to touch anything else, it would become unclean. And the priests or whoever was preparing had it wrapped up in their cloths or something like that. I'm trying to remember how I pictured it personally. And it was like really fancy where these guys had these white linen robes as I was reading this passage for the very, very first time. And it was just like, just all proper and clean and nothing was touched. Nothing was dirty. You know, it was just spotless or what have you. And delivering the food to the table in preparation for the ceremony. So, but if it did touch something unclean, the whole point with that was that this pure, sanctified, ready to go, meat was, you know, like just think of something very excellent and very pristine. It was ready to go, right? Like, but if it is touched, it is damaged, right? It's not that purity is removed all of a sudden. So apply it to your life. So you may be around people that are doing things that are not in the will of God. You know that they're against God's word, and you know that that's something that would be displeasing to God, as well as grieve the Holy. It's literally grieving the Holy Spirit within you, you know, to be around that. And yet you think somehow, or you're under the misconception that somehow you being around them is going to influence them. In all reality, that is going to influence you. And so that's where it comes into play, where you've got to know where you're standing at and to make discernment guided decisions by the Holy Spirit in what environments you place yourself in. You know, Mr. Miyagi says best defense don't be there. That's a running joke in our family, but it's true. Like, you wouldn't be tempted to do things if those situations weren't presented to you because of your choices to go into them. And so it's definitely something to think about and consider prayerfully. But that's what he is saying here when it comes to the sin. It's like, you're going to die in your sin if you continue in this way. Like, this is your choice. I'm not forcing anybody to go my way or believe me or have faith in the fact that I'm the Son of God. I'm just telling you that I am, and it is your choice to believe that I am and to seek after these things and to operate in a way that honors my Father, but if you continue in your sin, here's your consequence. Like, it's very simple, and he is very cut and dry. And so I encourage you, if you are actually operating in a sinful nature, old habits, iniquities that are like, you know that they're not honoring God, like any type of addictive behaviors, sexual immoralities, any impurities, if you will. Today is a day for you to make those decisions, to put those things at the cross where they were crucified with Christ and move forward past the cross, not staying stuck at the cross, but moving past the cross, because after the cross, Jesus was risen up. And he went to be with the Father, and he ascended above the circumstances that he once had to deal with the weight of the world on his shoulders, you know? And so he paid for the weight of sin, which is death. And so there is a point in our lives where we all have those decisions to make. And I just encourage you, if that's you today, to, you can do different today and walk differently today and get different results because of it. And you don't have to stay where you're at, and God will meet you exactly where you're at. And like he says, his judgment is true, but he didn't come here to judge you. He didn't come here to condemn you like they were condemning Jesus in these matters. He came here to make you free from those things of your past and from those things that are common to mankind across the world before they meet Jesus. So I just definitely encourage you to do that. So we're going to read through the rest of this passage. And just so that the word is out there, I might give you a final thought, but I'll let you go for the day after this. Okay, you guys? So verse 34 says, Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin." That's pretty heavy, right? "The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you." Big key word here, "in," is the word "in you." Have you accepted and received it deep down in your bones? Okay. 38 says, "I speak the things which I have seen with my Father. Therefore, you also do the things which you heard from your father." They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham." As we, go over to Hebrews and look at the faith of Abraham passages, by faith, Abraham, look for that. And then also go back to his story and read what Abraham did. And you'll understand the depth of what he says here. It says, "If you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father." And they said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God." And Jesus said to him, "If God was your father," or were your father, "you would love me, for I proceeded forth and have come from God. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil." So he tells them, like, he walks them through this gently. I don't know if you're noticing this, but he's walking them through this gently. Like, they are assuming that they are right. They're assuming that they are good. They're assuming that what they are doing is in alignment, right? So it's almost like a self-deception. And so how do you get yourself out of self-deception? Well, Jesus tried to be gentle and walk them through this. So first of all, they wanted to be called Abraham's children. And if that's the case, a child is supposed to honor their father's ways. Well, Abraham's ways were by faith. Everything he did was walk by faith, not by sight. He had no clue what he was doing or where God was calling him. He just chose to go, just like the woman was told to do, and not operate in a sinful way, but to honor God's ways, to be in the presence of God, you know, like that was his desire. And so he went. That's all it says in passage. And so Abraham went. So are we seeking him and only him, or are we getting hung up on our ways, right? It's just something to think about. But so he tells them that Abraham is definitely not their father, because what they're doing, their actions are not reflecting what Abraham did. And that would be the case if they were his children, right? And so our father is who we emulate in this life. And so there's a pure distinction here. And Abraham was also obedient. And so I don't believe that it, you know, operating in a way that they were, where they were seeking to kill someone, would be obeying the law of God, because even in the Old Testament original Ten Commandments, it says not to kill somebody. Like, do not murder is one of the pivotal pieces, right? So they weren't doing that. And he made that very clear. And so, of course, so then if that's not God's way, whose way is it? There's only one other option there, right? And so he made it very clear. He was very blunt. He was very gentle. He walked him through it. He's like, you're not Abraham's kid. You're not God's kid. There's only one other thing that it could be there, right? So, and if you are operating in the way of the world, it is hard to hear God's word clearly, because you are still in sin. And some people like to deceive themselves and think because they're praying or because they do some good things during the day, and then behind closed doors, they're doing other things that aren't, you know, honoring God's way, that it's excused or it's allowed because, well, people don't see it. That's, you know, whatever everybody is seeing is you're good, you know, like you're. And but even Jesus says, just to be very clear here, even Jesus says that, who are you calling good? I'm not good. Only my Father, only God is good. And so we've got to be careful with our word usages too when we're speaking of these matters. But moving forward, 44 says, you are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God. The Jews answered and said to him, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. But I do not seek my glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died and the prophets also, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste of death. Surely you are not greater than our father Abraham, who died. The prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be? You're like, oh my, like, yeah, that's, I could just see it. It's very sarcastic and very, you know, hateful and antagonizing, and just be in that moment. Like, they're not just questioning at this point. They're dishonoring him is what they're saying, is what he is identifying. He's like, you dishonor me. What does it look like for someone to talk smack to you and be disrespectful and antagonize and be that, get that hatefulness in them, you know, of someone that wants to kill him. Like, you got to get that kind of emotion going when you're reading these scriptures, you guys. Be real with it. Like, how would someone talk to you if this was the situation and the scenario, right? So Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. So I'm picturing it as he's calm and cool, collected. He's still like not letting the circumstances, not letting the people get his goat, you know, like don't take the bait, y'all. Just keep your peace, operate in peace. Jesus honored God in all his ways. So what does it look like to operate in self-control? When we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, it's the wholeness of that. There are no 7 different fruits or 9 different fruits or whatever the number is. Like, people try to break it down and like sit there and say that they're individual pieces, but no, God is in fullness. There's a wholeness there, and the fruit is not plural. And I've said that on many broadcasts. It's singular, fruit of the Spirit, and is this, and it says it in fullness. And so Jesus would have operated in that no matter what circumstances it came his way, and even in these. So if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. And you have not come to know him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I will be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. Therefore, they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter what they do. It matters what you do and how you respond versus being in a reactionary state of existence. So that would be a final thought for that particular part. But I do encourage you to really get real with yourself. Look inward and say, okay, what type of person do I really want to be? And what do I want to be known as, either in front of people or behind closed doors? Both. Like, it's one of those things where you just got to be real with yourself, and you've got to make some decisions one way or the other. If you choose to continue in your sin of whatever it is you're doing behind closed doors, as an example here, be real with it. Don't be fake out in public. Like, just be real. Like, I am choosing to be addicted to drugs, and this is me. Like, that's it. Like, just be candid about it. Like, I am choosing to do drugs every day. And you may not be able to say that you are addicted to them, but like, that is what you're choosing every day. And that is a part of your life. And so, do you want to continue that, or do you want to be made free in the Lord? Because that is what he offers us. And I'm just being very candid and frank about that, because addiction is something that is hard to get out of, because it has been done for so long that it becomes a part of us in a habitual way. And so that iniquity, much like sin, you know, some sins are able to be dropped, you know, cold turkey, and you're done. But when it comes to iniquities, you're talking about sometimes deep-seated things that you have done for so long that they are second nature, if you will, and they are something that you are known for. And so one of the things that I used to be known for is sarcasm, and that was a very difficult thing for me to break, and it was a form of behavior that I had learned as a child and didn't know any different. And so until it actually hurt people around me, and God brought that to light, that it hurt people around me, because in reality, sarcasm, you know, like if my daughter said a good example the other day, she's like, yeah, I told someone, so that was fun. And I really didn't mean that it was fun. It was really a bad experience and it hurt. And so I immediately apologized to them, you know, and told them it wasn't really fun. And that was sarcasm. And so she owned that, because she understands, because of what she's seen me walk through, that sarcasm is a false statement, and it's under disguise basically as humor. and in an attempt to really cope through the harder stuff of life. And so some people use it and they'll say, oh, I was just joking. But who jokes in phrasings or statements or words of lies? Think about it, because the things that we are saying are either true or they're false. And what do you want to be known for in your walk as a brother or sister in Christ? And what is God teaching you in this season is something you must consider every day. But remember that every new morning, God's mercies are new. Every single morning, it's a new day. And all we can do, all we can deal with in this life is one day at a time. You know, it says sufficient for the day are the worries of today. You know, like the struggle is real and today is enough to worry about, you know, to focus on. And it says, but in that respect, in that understanding, do not worry. Do not be anxious for anything, but in all things pray. And it's pray with thanksgiving, pray without ceasing. It's that continual communication and relationship with God, like bringing everything to him. It's okay. He knows that it's hard and he knows that it's difficult, but he meets you exactly where you're at and you are not alone. And he loves you so very much unconditionally. So take today and think about these things and consider them. And I just send you love and encouragement in the Spirit, by the Spirit, in Jesus Christ, and know that, you know, God's got you. And this too is going to be something that he gets you through. So, all right, you guys, we'll talk to you later. We don't want to continue in those cycles. We want to break free from them, be made free in him. So draw close to him.
Thank you so much for listening to this visit of the Declaring War segment by the RSVP Show. We hope these moments of reflection and stillness for victory in your pursuit of God were a blessing to you. We encourage you to continue to worship, apply, and read the Word of God every single day while today is still today. Stay connected with April at April D. Metzler through social media. New music singles and her debut music album are available to add to your favorite playlist on streaming platforms. And you can get a copy of her book wherever books are sold. Learn more about the great things she is doing to bless God and his people on her website at aprildmetzler.com. Thank you for joining this visit with us. Always remember, God loves you.
Views made on the preceding program are not those of WVTC Radio, iNetworks Communications, or their financial supporters.
Winning victory through Christ, WVTC, Allsip Chicago, and iNetworks Communications Station.